Hello, my friends. Welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It's the 5th day of March. I want to, just as I did 2 days ago, I wished my brother a happy birthday. Well, today, March the 5th, another big day in the White House. This was my parents' anniversary. So I want to wish a happy anniversary to Mom and Dad, and just to hope that they have a tremendous day, Rick and LaVita White. And hope that they have a wonderful day celebrating their life together, celebrating one another. They have given me a long heritage of what it looks like to have a healthy marriage in both life and in ministry, and I'm so thankful for them, and I hope they have a great day. I'm bringing Mom and Dad into South Carolina for a Sunday in the month of April. I don't guess I've announced this here on the DDP, but I will be having my dad come in to preach our Charter Membership Sunday on the 14th day of April. We're taking charter members at the Garden. It'll be our six-month mark. And so Dad is coming in to preach that charge and to bless us with a prayer and word. And so Mom and Dad will be there that weekend. If you are in the Columbia, South Carolina area, of course, you're always welcome. Every Sunday morning, we meet at 10:30 a.m. at the Garden Church of the Midlands. Address is at the website MidlandsGardenChurch.org. MidlandsGardenChurch.org. Check it out. Okay. It is the 21st verse of Luke 10 that draws our attention today because we are proceeding through the Gospel of Luke and just walking through verse by verse. Yesterday, the disciples came back rejoicing that they had power to cast out devils. Jesus told them that their rejoicing should be that their names are written in heaven. And then Luke, in a very clever narrative device, shows us Jesus rejoicing. So if Jesus tells us what not to rejoice in, that's that which we do, and yet to rejoice in that which we are, written in heaven, what would he rejoice in? Luke tells you right away, verse 21, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. I'll read on out because we're going to talk about revelation, illumination, conviction a little bit today. 22, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Let's talk illumination. Sometimes we call this revelation, because Jesus rejoices in the fact that his Father had hidden some things from people, but would reveal them to those who approached as children, and would reveal them through the Son. Well, as a child of God, as a Christian, our knowledge of the divine is really more than just biblical words and concepts and principles and creeds and ideas and theology. Our knowledge of the divine is an understanding of the reality of God, the reality and the relevance of the works of God as testified by the Bible and the Scriptures, but also as lived out through us. Paul called the humanity the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2, the natural person, and said that the natural man doesn't have the Holy Spirit, and they're unfamiliar with, they may have like Christian ideas and they may have principles, but they don't have the deep understanding. Jesus called it blind leading the blind. Paul also said that the Holy Spirit, and this is from 1 Corinthians 2, the Holy Spirit searches the depths of God, and that he brings this understanding into you and me by the Holy Spirit. So what we're learning, what we know as the children of God, is the work of the Holy Spirit. And he imparts this to us, and we call it illumination. We call it enlightening. We call it revelation. It's not a new revelation. It's not something outside of what he's done before. He's not making up new things. It's something within what he's done before, but it's new to us. It's our ability to grasp it and to affirm it when we hear it read, when we hear it preached, when we hear it taught. Now, stuff clouds us. I mean, we don't always get this clearly because sin clouds our mind and our will, and day-to-day life causes us to miss sometimes the force of this. But the Holy Spirit is always working. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit always working, don't think of it in terms of he's always working to get rid of sin. He's always working to unveil Christ, to open our mind, to tune our heart to what God has revealed. And this is how God applies truth to our heart, is through the person of the Holy Spirit. If you go back to the era of the Reformation, so say like mid-16th century, in the Martin Luther and John Calvin era of the church, where there was a real Protestant, a protest against the way things had been, the theologians of that era began to talk about illumination as an act of grace, and they wrote about it as an act that takes place in two stages. The first stage is when you encounter the Word, when you encounter the Scripture. It's an external illumination. You heard it, you saw it, you either read it or you heard it preached, and then that led to a second illumination, and that's the internal work of the Holy Spirit that leads to salvation. That's sort of permeated Protestant thought, is that you encounter God through eyes and ears. You see, you don't see him, but you see it through his Word. You hear it through the Word. And then you have something that happens on the inside. And they work together. So the Holy Spirit uses what you see in the Word or what you hear in the Word to bring an illumination. And I don't know a better way to say it. I mean, I think it's right. I just heard someone recently say this. I'm leading this up to this. I heard someone telling a story about the late, great Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson wrote, his translation of the Bible was The Message. I mean, he didn't just have The Message. He had a lot of things. And a lot of his writings are some of the best I've ever read of in any subject. Someone asked him if he regretted his Pentecostal upbringing. He was raised in Assemblies of God. His grandmother was an Assemblies of God pastor. But as you may or may not know, he became a Presbyterian. He pastored Presbyterian church for decades. So they asked him, do you regret your Pentecostal upbringing? And he said, no, not at all. He said, in fact, the Pentecostal charismatic upbringing is the best way to begin. He said, but I couldn't stay there. And I think what he meant was the best way, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, the best way to begin is to have an experience with God. Pentecostal charismatic emphasize an experience. The problem I see is if you stay there, you demand to know God through experience, which means you demand to know God through emotion. But if you start there and then allow the Holy Spirit to take you where he will, wherever that is, you'll always believe in an experiential God. I think that's important as well. We continue from Luke 10 tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.